There is quite a lot packed into today. We have the Feast of All Saints. We have the baptism of Jane. We have the stewardship brunch that will follow the service. And not to mention that this week is the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. So many different things. And yet so many ways that we are and have been church. On this All Saints Day, we remember the saints who have gone before us. We remember our own call to live lives of faith and courage as they did. And this week, we remember Martin Luther, who nailed his 95 theses to the church door in Wittenberg, who sparked the fire which reshaped the entire church as we know it. And today we remember our own baptisms as we prepare to welcome Jane and celebrate hers. And as we recite our baptismal vows again, we remember our own call to continue in the breaking of bread and participation in the body of Christ, and how this stewardship of our lives and church bring God into the here and now. And then we get to go break bread together. Chili. I think there's bread involved, though. In other words, today we remember that this is an ancient faith, changed by the bravery and faith of the few who inspired the many. We remember that the church is ultimately made of human. And we remember why we gather as we recommit ourselves to the promises that will carry us into the future. And so let's first take All Saints. On this day, we are reminded that what we know of as the 20th century brand of Christianity in the United States is really just a tiny blip on the radar in the expansive history of our faith. This great diversity of the church, the upheavals and the changes that have been in it, are, I think, too often flattened by our current manifestation of Christianity. Because church history is filled with people boldly and courageously following God's call, more often than not, bringing them into conflict with the predominant culture and church. For example, to discuss a bit about the biblical saints that have come before us, did you know that one of the first people to be called prophet in the Old Testament was Miriam, the sister of Moses? And did you know that the first person to name God in the Old Testament, which was a huge thing, was Hagar, the handmaid of Abraham and Sarah? And did you know, I hope that many of you know, that Mary Magdalene was in fact the first person to proclaim the risen Christ, given the title Apostle to the Apostles? All of this, biblical. And in our own particular Episcopal and Anglican tradition, did you know that the Book of Common Prayer, which we use in our bulletins at the 10 a.m., the book at the 8 a.m., did you know that it was first published in 1549? And it was the first time that the daily worship and Sunday rites had been put fully into English. In other words, fully into the language of the people that were using them. And did you know that to move forward a few hundred years, in our Episcopal Church, we recognize saints and martyrs as well who have gone before us, who have lived lives of courage and faith. One of them, a 20th century saint and martyr, was a young man by the name of Jonathan Daniels. Some of you may know him. He was a seminarian who at the age of 26 felt God's call to go fight alongside his African-American brothers and sisters in the South during the Civil Rights Movement. And while he was down in the South in 1965, he threw himself in front of a bullet that was meant for a young black girl, sacrificing his life to save hers. And because of his martyrdom, his sacrifice, that young girl grew up to be Ruby Sales, a prominent and powerful civil rights leader. The many saints who have gone before. And, last bits of trivia, did you know that the Episcopal Church consecrated the first female and the first African American bishop in the entire global Anglican Communion, the Right Reverend Barbara Harris in 1989, and then in 2003, the first openly gay bishop, the Right Reverend Jean Robinson. All of these examples of being church. And so, on a day like this, we remember that the church at its core is human. And therefore, it is both heartbreakingly beautiful and deeply terrible. And the church has indeed been both of those things at many times and in many places. And there's no way to avoid the hypocrisy and the brokenness of the human experience that we find in church, that we find outside of church, because there is no way to avoid humanity. After all, even when we are alone, we're still with ourselves. And so when people criticize the church, I often say, yes, you're right. And that is humanity, raw and real and visible. But if you want to gather with other broken people who are striving, who are yearning for something beautiful and holy beyond themselves, that's why I gather. That's when the church is at its best, when we're nothing more or less than we truly are, human and beloved of God. When we remember the Beatitudes, which we read in our gospel today, this term Beatitudes coming from the Latin translation of the Greek word, all of that, the Latin beatus, which means blessedness or happiness. But the important thing I think about the Beatitudes is something that can be easily missed, which is that they appear to us in the indicative tense, not the imperative, which is a way of saying that this isn't a list of moral judgments, but instead simple statements about the way things are. A worldly vision, if you will, of how God works. Dr. Earl Palmer notes that the Beatitudes are very much patterned on Psalm 1. And so he looked back at the word in the psalm that is used for blessedness. And what he found was that there are numerous Hebrew words throughout the psalms that we translate as the one word, blessedness. The Hebrew word in Psalm 1 is ashar, which I probably just butchered. We don't have Brother Eckhart here to correct my Hebrew anymore. This Hebrew word in Psalm 1, ashar, which literally has a literal sense of find the right road. And so he posits that the Beatitudes could be read as you are on the right road when you are poor in spirit. And indeed, our prophet Micah reminds us of this right road in a way that only Micah can. He reminds us that it grieves the heart of God when we who have food cry peace, when those who do not sit hungry. And on this All Saints Day, we give thanks to God for the prophets like Micah who call us back to the right road, the road of mercy and humility and compassion. And so today we remember why we gather. And in many ways, I feel like this is my love letter to the church. Because at a time when compassion seems to be disappearing, when shaming and anger and hate seem to be the modus operandi for public discourse, I love the church because as infected as it is with all of that, it is full of people who are striving and yearning and wanting for something more. For something more beautiful, more holy, more true. It is a group of people who have made promises to be different, to be radically weird and countercultural. And as we will say soon, as we reaffirm our baptismal covenant, to strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being. To be on the right road, even when it isn't the popular road. And when we fall down and when we inevitably mess up, as we will also say in our baptismal covenant, whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord. So I don't come to church to be with perfect people or to be in a perfect institution. I come to be with real people, to hear my story of struggle in theirs. And because I just can't do this alone. So if you are yearning for something more from this world, from your life, from God, join us as we too strive for justice, for true peace, with God's help. We come together and we become church. And I know that for some, this stewardship season that we're in can feel just like another pledge drive for money. And it is about money. But it's about money just as it is about all the ways in which you give of yourself and your gifts to that which you deem important. We spend our lives, every moment of every day, whether we are deliberate about that spending or not. And so in this stewardship season, on this All Saints Day, on this day of baptism and recommitment to our own vows, how is God calling you to spend your life? As Mary Oliver so beautifully puts it, your one wild and precious life. We are church. We are imperfect, and we are striving and yearning and loving. We are St. Mark's. We, like the ragtag band of saints which came before us and surround us even now, are people trying to spend our lives in following a loving God who proclaims release to the captives, who brings good news to the poor, and who calls us to the right road of mercy, humility, and resilience. And so today, brothers and sisters, Let us pray that we will, with God's help. Amen.